It is good to see all of you tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Now, I can't promise how far we're going to get because these first few chapter or first few verses is just a lot of information, a lot of prophecy. So tonight we'll be talking and I'll explain all of this stuff here in just a few minutes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, now when we finished the last part of chapter 4, the whole last part of chapter 4 dealt with the rapture, this thing in red, the rapture of the church, where we go to meet him in the air. You'll find that reading starting in verse 13 of chapter 4 all the way to 18. Where it says the Lord's going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, so on and so forth. We went over all of that. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, we went over all of that. And where it says the dead in Christ will rise first and we go to meet him in the air. That's how you separate the two events. Here's very important stuff. And I know some of you are new, but very important to divide, rightly divide the Bible, the rapture and the second coming. Two totally different events separated by 7 years of tribulation. And a lot of times what happens, people get real confused when they take second coming verses, Matthew 24, Zechariah 14, Malachi 4, on and on you go, and try to make that the rapture. And then you get all confused about pre-tribulation. Are we going to go through any of the tribulation? Are we going to go through half? Then you get all confused on that. But if you rightly divide the Bible, like we're going to try to do tonight, you can get that fixed in your mind. So, chapter 4 dealt with that rapture of the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about all the saved in this dispensation. Now, in chapter number 5, he starts talking about something that Paul calls the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is always in reference to the second coming. Now, in Scripture, if you study your Bible, there are different days in the Bible. I'll give you, for instance, remember where Paul says, today is the day of salvation. The day of salvation is from the cross to the rapture. There's the day of salvation. Let's see, Ephesians 4 and about verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is in reference to the rapture of the church. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of, that's where I get redeemed, redemption of the body. And then the day of the Lord. And then there's the day of Christ. The day of Christ has to do with the rapture and all the way to the second coming. So this little section right here, it engulfs the judgment seat of Christ and the rapture. It's called the day of Christ. All the different days. So get that in your mind and let's look at chapter 5, verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, talking to saved people, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, let me show you something. In Acts 1 and verse number 7, now watch this. This is Wednesday night. This is a little deeper than what we would normally do on a Sunday morning. Watch what he says, Acts chapter number 1, just right here after the cross. And he said unto them, Jesus, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. Now watch this. That's in Acts chapter number 1. Well, by the time Paul writes 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, way on past Acts chapter number 7, Paul says, now we can know the times and the seasons. You say, well, why didn't he let them know the times and the seasons now? Because Acts 7 hadn't happened yet. In Acts 7, that thing could have went one or two ways. Israel could have accepted the Messiah and they rejected. We all would know they rejected, and once they rejected, okay, God stops the clock on Israel and brings in the church, and now we can know. Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, you can know the times and the seasons. But Jesus told the Jews in Acts 1:7, it's not for you to know the times and seasons. So there's the difference. When you read that, you say, oh, there's a contradiction in the Bible. It's not. Jesus was talking to the Jews here. Paul's talking to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We can know the times and the seasons. Now, let's see, let me read it all again so I can get it all together. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, you say, okay, I know, Brother Jeremy, I know that Bible said. Let me see if I got it. I think it's Mark chapter, what is it over there where it says in Mark, is it Mark 13? Let me see if I got it. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Watch this. Mark 13. Watch this. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Watch what Jesus says. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. So you don't know the day or the hour. But Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, you can know the times and the seasons. Now I'm confused. All right, watch. Let me explain it to you this way. In verse number 3, where we were just reading, he says, as a woman travaileth in birth. Okay, men, ladies, there's nobody that can know the day or the hour when a baby's going to be born. But you know the times and the season. You know it's going to be months so-and-so. You just don't know what day. The doctors can say, well, it's going to be, you know, your due date is such. But it could be the day before. It could be a week before. It could be a week after. No man knows the day or the hour. But we can know the time. I mean, a woman gets pregnant. We know 9 months. We finna have a baby somewhere. We don't know the day or the hour, but we do know the time seasons. You see the difference? So when you read that, you're like, oh, nobody knows the day or the hour. That's true. But we can know the times and seasons. And matter of fact, I'll give you another example of this. If we were to leave here, we're headed up to St. Louis. We're going to get on I-55, and we're going to head up through Sykes, and we're going to stop off at, Lambert's, and we're going to get eat before we hit the. And then you're going to see signs. You're going to start seeing signs that says St. Louis, 200 miles. And then the closer you get up to Cape Girardeau, and then you're going to see a sign that says St. Louis, whatever it is from there, 80 miles, whatever it is. You can know the signs, the day of the Lord. You can see it's coming. We don't know the day or the hour, but you know the times and seasons. You can just tell by looking at the mileage sticker, you see. Okay, so let's go back to chapter 5. And we looked at verse number 3 there. All right. For yourselves, verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. All right. The day of the Lord. You say, preacher, how do you know the day of the Lord deals with the second coming? All right. This is what I do. I don't know much Greek. I don't know much Hebrew. The only Greek I know owns a clothing store, and a Hebrew owns a pizza parlor. If I want to study the Bible, I got a program on my phone. There's a program up there. It's called Blue Letter Bible. I typed in the day of the Lord. Search, and it pulls up every verse where the day of the Lord shows up. If you want to know, all right, let's watch. I got a couple of them for you. All right, let's see. Zechariah 14. You don't even have to turn. I got it on the screen there for you. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Anybody want to take a wild guess? That is the Battle of Armageddon. That happens right here. The Battle of Armageddon. For I will gather all nations together, Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women's ravished, and half of the city shall go forth to captivity, and so on and so forth. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. And when he had fought, the day of battle, that's the Battle of Armageddon. His feet shall stand, now watch this, his feet shall stand in that day up on the Mount of Olives. Y'all see that? The day of the Lord. The Lord is going to come and stand on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, so on and so forth. I know by reading that, that the day of the Lord and the rapture are two totally separate events. Why? Because the rapture, the Lord don't come to this earth. We go meet him where? In the air. The day of the Lord, he sets foot in the Mount of Olives. See the difference? Two separate events. The day of the Lord. Let's see. All right, here's another one. Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day cometh, it shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the sun, notice S-U-N, the S is capitalized, the Son of Righteousness, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, but he spells it S-U-N, comparing him to the sun. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings and shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And he shall tread down the wicked. Now, we just read a while ago in Zechariah, when he comes, day of the Lord, battle of Armageddon, right? He's going to fight. Malachi chapter 4 says, he tried down the wicked for they should be ashes under the soles of their feet. In that day, I'll do this, saith the Lord of hosts. See that? The day of the Lord is the second coming, where he comes to this earth. Totally different than the rapture. All right? Now, here's one where everybody gets confused. In Matthew 24, watch what the Bible says. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign. Who requires a sign? Jews require a sign. The sign of the Son of Man, Jewish term. Paul calls him the Son of God here. Jews, he's the Son of Man. That's why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Son of Man, Son of God. Now we're back to Son of Man, Jewish term, Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the great sound of a trumpet. Oh, Brother Jeremy, that sounds like the rapture, the sound of a trumpet. Remember, we went over this last week. You have to send in $29.95 and get the DVD from last week, okay? He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, Jews, his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. The angels sound the trumpet, but here, the trump of God. Two totally separate events. All right, here's another one. You say, why are we doing it? Because this is the only way to study the Bible. You don't want to know what I think. You want to know what the Bible says. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the... We read that in 1 Thessalonians 5. Day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that therein shall be burned up. Now, the day of the Lord, let me give you this. The day of the Lord starts somewhere middle, I would say somewhere in the middle of the tribulation, the day of the Lord, and it goes all the way to the great white throne judgment. That is the day of the Lord. So when we read here, you say, how do I know? How do I know that? because we read in Zechariah, the day of the Lord, his feet come stand on the Mount of Olives. Well, here in 2 Peter, the day of the Lord, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Well, that's after the thousand-year millennial reign. So the day of the Lord extends. You say, well, I thought a day was 24 hours. Mm-mm. In the Bible, have you ever heard this phrase? Someone that knew me back in high school, they'd say, back in his day, he was really good at basketball. We're not talking about a 24-hour period. We're talking about a long extended time that I was good. Back in his day. Back in their heyday. It's longer than a 24-hour period. So the day of the Lord is longer. It goes all the way to the great white throne judgment. Now, we've already dealt with of that day and hour, knoweth no man, and so on and so forth. Now, here's something I want to show you. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety. All right. In the middle of the tribulation, the tribulation is seven. This whole thing between this red and this purple is 7 years. So that thing is divided into three and a half. So there's three and a half here, and there's three and a half here. The first part is peace and safety, then destruction. Here, the last part. First part, peace and safety. The Antichrist, when he shows up, he's going to sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. They're going to shake hands, and it's going to be almost like the Abraham Accord and all that kind of thing. Every president's tried to make peace in the Middle East. Peace, peace, peace. Somebody's going to show up, don't know who it is. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be watching it from my TV up in my mansion. So really don't care, but somebody's going to come sign a peace treaty with Israel. Halfway. When they sign that peace treaty. All peace. Man, it's going to be all over the news, all over radio. It's going to be on Twitter. It's going to be on Facebook. We got peace all over the world. Peace all over the world. And when they say peace and safety, then what? Sudden destruction. As you know, what it says. Look at verse 3. I want to show you something real important. Watch what it says, every word. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon what? Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica. But he don't include them over here. He says, when they, okay, I'm talking to y'all, right? When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, not y'all. You with me? People wonder. We're going through the trip. Paul didn't think so. Paul told the church at Thessalonica they wasn't going because sudden destruction was going to come upon them, not who I'm writing to. See the difference? Every word's inspired of God, and it's important. Now, that's a little tidbit of information. Now, let's see. Oh, let's look here. Verse number 4. But ye, brethren, saved people, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, you're not going to be surprised about this thing coming as a thief. You're not going to be surprised at all. Why? We know the times and the seasons. But now, Jesus is coming as a thief. The day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. But you're not going to be disturbed about that because you're going to know. He's not going to overtake you as a thief. Okay? Verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sober. Clear-headed. This would not be driving down the road and you got one hand on the steering wheel and you're checking. That's not being sober. In other words, he says, during these times and seasons we live in, we need full concentration on what's coming. Be sober. Let us watch and be sober. That's what he said. Now, you're thinking, okay, how in the world? We're living in these dark days. We're living in the night. Thief, he's coming as a thief in the night. How are we going to, why are we the children of the day? How can you be the children of the light, children of the day, in the middle of the night? All right. Let's see what we got here. Oh, let's see. Here's one, John 8 and 12. Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me, how many of y'all following him, shall not walk in darkness, but ye shall have the light of life. Now, just picture this right here. Now, the Son of righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And so there's the Son. Going to rise with healing in his wings. All right. So everything, that's the sun comes up in the morning. So everything before that is at night. Okay. Now, the church is always, let me see if I can do this. Y'all going to be real. No, that ain't right. That look like a moon? Is that close? In the night, the moon reflects the church. In this night season, what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to reflect the sun in the night and give light in the darkness. Stanley said, wasn't expecting a lot of shouting. Guess what the moon does? The moon in orbit follows the sun and rotates against the world. The church is supposed to be against and follow the... Oh, y'all about to get it now. Hallelujah. And we're reflecting the light from the sun when it's dark outside. The only light that this world will have is from the church that's reflecting. You say, how do you know? John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but he was come to bear witness of the light. John 1 and 6 and 7 and 8, somewhere along in there. So that's what we're supposed to be. There's other verses. John 1. I just quoted John 1 and 4 through 9 and so on and so forth through there. Let's see. Then he says, in verse 7. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day saved, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, love, helmet, the hope of salvation. Look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Now, watch every word. To obtain salvation. Brother Jeremy, I thought I was already saved. That verse says I got to obtain salvation. All right. Remind you of something. I got saved when I was 10. Got saved. But I'm still waiting to be saved from the body. And that happens here. When I obtain, I'll give you another for instance of that. Let me look at Romans 13. Just came to mind. Let me see right here. Romans 13. See if this don't sound like what we just read. Romans 13. It's not going to be on the screen there for you, but it's in verse number 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. See, I'm already saved. But every day I wake up and it's a new day, my salvation of the body is nearer than when I got saved at 10. You see. And then he goes on, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Romans 13. It's almost like Paul wrote that in 1 Thessalonians 5, 2. He did. God has not appointed us to wrath, but obtain. Now watch. Now again, you believe whatever you want to. It's a free country. I'm just trying to give you the verses. God has not appointed the church to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming, and he's my salvation. Yes, I'm saved, soul, spirit, but my body is still waiting to be changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye. That's when my body gets saved. And he's not appointed me to wrath, but obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, or whatever the wording is. Matter of fact, there's another one. Romans 5:9 says the same thing. Much more then, being now just, I'm saved now by the blood. Now I'm justified by his blood. Watch. We shall be, future, saved from what? Wrath through him. Being now, right now, justified by his blood. I'm saved. But we shall be saved from. See? Very important. Now, let me give you a couple things. Fun things, if I can, about this day of the Lord. Some interesting things, and let's see, what was that? 10, we've got a few more verses. We won't get it all done tonight. Watch this. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now with God, he says, a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as one day. Now, in the Bible, if you were to go back, have you ever wondered when you're reading your Bible through every year and you get bogged down over there Matthew and then Luke, there's a genealogy. And matter of fact, in Genesis chapter 5, over there in Genesis chapter 5, he says Adam lived so many years and he beget a Seth. And then Seth lived so long and then he beget somebody else and Methuselah this. And then Noah came along and then Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and here we go. And you get, and you're like, well, the reason that's in there is because what I'm about to tell you now. From Jesus Christ all the way back to Genesis is 4,000 years. That's 4 days. 1, 2, 3, 4. Does everybody see that? And the sun showed up. The sun showed up on the creation. Genesis. Sun showed up on the fourth day. Lazarus was dead 4 days, and Jesus showed up. All right. Then the church age is 2,000 years. 1, 2. Everybody see that? And then you have the 1,000-year millennial reign is 1,000 years. That's 7. 7 all together. Okay? 4 before Jesus, and then 3,000 years until here. Stay with me. Gonna get interesting, hopefully. You remember the story, the miracle of Jesus turned the water into wine. That's in John 2. Fixing to read it. But in John 1, John the Baptist shows up and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." All right? John 2 in verse 1. "And the third day there was a marriage in the Cana of Galilee." 1, 2. "And the third day there was a marriage." Oh, stay in your seat. I was looking for more. 1, 2. "And the third day there was the marriage supper of the..." All right, well, you didn't like that. I've got some more. Okay. In John chapter 3, Jesus, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Same came to Jesus by night, said, "Master, da, 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 da." Okay. Jesus goes to the Jews in John 3. Well, then he goes to, in John 4, he goes to a Gentile woman. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there, how many days? With the Jews, John 3. Then he goes to the Samaritans, and he stays with them 2 days. Now, you're not going to get this everywhere. All right, watch this. Same chapter. Now, after the 2 days, where does he go? Departs. He goes back to Galilee where all the Jews are. Whew. Where's Tommy at? Jews. Then he spends 2 days with the Gentile woman. And then after he spends 2 days, he goes back to... Okay, hallelujah. I'll enjoy my own teaching. Hey, here's another one. This is in Exodus 19. The Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai." 1, 2, 3rd day. He's going to come down in the midst of people on Mount Sinai. Well, okay. I got some more. Some of you ain't liking your Bible yet, but I'm trying to make you like your Bible. Matthew 17, Mount of Transfiguration. In the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus is transfigured. And guess who shows up with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Moses, Elijah shows up in tribulation. Anyway. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, John's brother, and bringeth them to high mountain apart. Y'all see that? And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the... His raiment white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them... You know who shows up in the tribulation? Moses, Elijah. Now, all right, hang on. After 6 days, Jesus is transfigured before him. His face shines as the sun. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. After 6 days. Y'all see that? Moses, Elijah. Transfiguration. All right, let me show you something else. Now, here is another account of the same thing. Now, watch. Watch this. In Luke 9, this is what it says. "And it came to pass about in 8 days after these that he took Peter and John and James went up to the mountain to pray." Now, hang on. Matthew 17 says What did it say? After 6 days. Wait, hang on. After 6 days. Luke said, about 8. What are we going to do? Well, we got to go to the bookstore and get us another Bible, because that one ain't right. Or, what's after 6? What's about 8? Luke and Matthew got together and said, there's going to be some people down there at Mills Field that's going to be looking and questioning that Bible. Let's throw this in there to see if they're real students of the Bible. Ain't that something? Hosea. Hosea's talking about reviving the nation of Israel. He says, after 2 days, will I revive us. And in the third day, I'm going to raise us up. Valley of dry bones. We shall live in His sight. Oh, I got time. All right, let me show you this one thing right here. You see this little thing right here? This is a picture of the church age in the night. And where there's the church, the moon, we're reflecting off the sun, we're waiting on Him, the Son of Righteousness rise with healing His wings. There we go. Now, there's 4 divisions of the night. Okay? Watch this. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. You don't know when He's coming. It could be at evening, could be at midnight, could be at cock crowing, or in the morning. So here we go. Here's our divisions. Right here. The first division is from 6 to 9. That's what's called even. And then from 9 to 12 is midnight. From 12 to 3 is the cock crowing. And from 3 to 6 is morning. Okay? We, of course, the church is going to go out before the Son of Righteousness comes up. Do y'all remember? I dealt with this a little bit. When was it? Sunday? Where was I? Or where did I preach that at? Can't remember. Oh, yes, I did. It was Sunday. The disciples. Jesus told disciples, get in the ship, go to the other side. When they got in the middle of the lake, a storm showed up. And the Bible says Jesus came, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. The Jews in the middle, Jews, get in this ship, go to the other side. They got about halfway, sudden destruction, storm comes. Y'all with me? Have we got any Bible readers? Storm comes. They're tossed to and fro, waves coming in the boat, destruction, this, that, and the other. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes to them between 3 and 6, walking on the sea. And the Bible says when they received Him into their ship, they were on the other side. You know when the sun comes up? 6. Well, I know, I understand. Time change, all that kind of stuff. But you got me. 6 o'clock, sun's coming up with healing in His wings. Hallelujah. Well, just remember, we're going out here. We're leaving out of here like Superman. Coming back like the Long Ranger. Hallelujah. I better not be throwing more of these. I got to have these. All right. Fourth watch of the night. Does everybody see that? One, two, three, four. And during this night, the church were reflecting off the sun and bringing light to a dark, dark world. Amen.